This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I feel like in the last 30 seconds I've cycled through very, very different moods because we were talking earlier today about this sort of general malaise that we're in because of the on-off nature of the Premier League recently and the FA Cup has sort of like definitely taken out turned our FPL brains off. But just doing our little preamble before we started recording, we both started getting like kind of giddy and excited, and I feel like the juice is loose now.
I know. I think we needed like the final phase of the season to start to happen. We needed teams to not play to make, you know, to create like difficult decisions and double game weeks on the line. And, you know, wild cards are going to start happening soon. And, you know, a lot of like casual managers who are doing better than me in like all 8,000 of my leagues are going to start falling off because they're not going to have players for game week 28. And so like, I'm excited, you know, like it's all starting to come together I actually like giggled as I said that. Brandon, you know,
I'll tell you,
I'm not a man who giggles easily, but it was.
I know you well enough to say that's a fact. And I will tell this to the always cheating listenership: we need the FPL back because all of my Twitter stream the last week has been people gearing up their MLS fantasy teams, and please God, don't put me through that another season. I need the FPL to come back and save me from.
Did you set your team through December, November?
No, I set my. I was one of the worst fantasy players. Like nobody wants to hang out with the guy like me. The way I played MLS fantasy, I was that guy that joins your league, and I didn't set my team a single time since the season started.
Wow.
Luckily, I was just playing by myself for fun, which is just usually my life story. But
I think it's healthy to only have one fantasy league that you're one fantasy game that you're truly obsessed with.
Yeah,
you know, like fair. Even like people who do like even like Football Manager and FPL or Champions League fantasy, like it's all just like a little too much for me.
And I don't want to disparage the MLS, as people know, we were proud season ticket holders for NYCFC, at least last season.
True.
We were.
True.
We love the MLS. We're proud Americans. I mean, to a degree, we're proud Americans. But
right. Nor do I mean to disparage fantasy obsessives. I mean, you know, far be it from us to talk, right? We spend several hours a week recording a fantasy podcast.
Yeah, but let's be clear. You came around the other day, and you had one of those, like, cranium measuring devices, and you determined that my brain is really only big enough for one fantasy game. Like I do not.
I'm one of the last believers in phrenology. I'm maybe the last one. And so, Brandon, did you watch any football this weekend? There was some interesting FA Cup matches.
Yeah, it was actually it was one of those weekends where I think the fixtures sort of lined up perfectly, where there were so many Cinderella stories in the making. you know, various non-league sides or lower league sides playing Premier League sides. So, yeah, I got excited about the FA Cup for once, and I watched some of it. I went to the bar. I went to Banter, the great football bar in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Met up with our good friend Toby Carroll, who's a massive Spurs fan, and I got to watch my second Fulham game on the TV this season. The first game was the first game of the actual championship season in which they destroyed Newcastle. Not necessarily what would determine how the championship season would go. But yeah, Fulham.
They're still hanging around, right? They're like 9th or 10th.
Yeah, they have a game in hand to get into the playoff spots, being 9 points behind. So they're conceivably 6 points out of the playoff picture. But it's going to be very tough. And I was joking with our friend Jeff Petter on social media, who's a Spurs fan. I was saying, I'll just give – Fulham fans will concede to Spurs here for the possibility that we make the championship playoffs. So save your energy, Whites. Like, let's get to the playoffs.
Exactly. But, and even if you get to the playoffs and don't make it all the way through, at least you're back, like you're almost there, right? Like you're you know, like it's been kind of dark for Fulham.
Oh man, it's so true. It's been such a dark, like since the era of, God, I'm totally blanking on the manager's name who rubbed cheese all over the defenders to heal them from their injuries.
It's
been some bad times. But it was actually also fun watching the Manchester United Blackburn game. Returning old favorites from FPL, Danny Graham, two Swansea guys, Danny Graham and Martin Emnes, who never played for Swansea.
I always thought he was one of
the cooler looking players in the Premier League. He's got this like cool long hair that's in this like these braids, and he's got this really great touch on the ball, and he was running the show for Blackburn, even though Blackburn is by all accounts terrible this season.
I saw Arsenal's less than inspiring Sutton United win yesterday, and I guess from an FPL perspective, the big news though was the Burnley match on Saturday morning, which I did watch, and I mean it was kind of an amazing match to watch because you know it was not like. I mean, I think Lincoln City scored on their only shot on goal or something like that, but it was a pretty back and forth match. I mean, it was not like, you know, Burnley outplayed them the whole time and kind of got unlucky at the end. I mean, it was a very strange match and pretty awesome when Lincoln City won. But, you know, the big news there is, you know, it opens up two more teams in game week 28. So,
I know we're all dying to bring a Burnley defender in.
I know. And as much as everyone wants to hear us talk about Fulham, I guess we should start talking about the big news, which is
the guy who ate a pie live on television. Isn't that the big news?
That was, and it's so sad. I hope he gets his job back. Big news.
At least he gets to keep his money, his winnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Game week 26 through game week 28 planning. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the eight teams that have fixture in game week 26, 27, 28. There's only eight teams. Expected to be only six, but now we have eight. I guess there theoretically could be 10 if somehow Man City loses at home to Huddersfield, but we're going to go ahead and assume that Man City will not lose at home to Huddersfield. I do not think that's a likely possibility. If it does, then they want to lose, right?
trying to lose. I feel like a weatherman, but I'm definitely predicting a case of Manchester City blanking in game.
Too much squad depth there. I mean, even if they, played their whole second string, I think they'd still win that match. And I don't think Huddersfield actually necessarily cares if they go on either because they're trying to get promoted this year. So.
No, Lito's going to go out there with his floppy haircut, and he's going to beat the crap out of Huddersfield.
So we're going to talk about game week 26 through 28, the teams to play. We're going to answer some questions. We're going to look a little bit ahead to game weeks 29 through 31, too, and just kind of take a glance that way and make sure that the decisions that we're making over the next 3 weeks aren't going to screw us in the 3 weeks that come after that. But first, I just wanted to note that we have a Patreon exclusive podcast, which is recording on Sunday of this week, and I'll probably get it up later that day. So it's kind of a cool one. It's kind of an interview, and we're actually going to talk about ourselves a little bit too. And I don't want to reveal the details yet because they're still getting finalized, but it should be kind of a freewheeling FPL discussion.
What about, here's a tease, should we, speaking of revealing things about ourselves, Josh, should we reveal our middle names only to people who are Patreon subscribers on this episode of the podcast?
I think that's, yeah, that'll be the big reveal, actually, are our precious middle names.
And if Ladbrokes is taking odds on this fat goalkeeper eating a pie, they're probably taking odds on what our middle names are.
That's true. That's true. All right, Brandon, I'm not giving you anything in any of your jokes this episode. I'm so focused.
It's a lot like me being around the office. I'm usually just making really, really terrible jokes, and all the young people turn away in disgust.
All right, so we did a podcast last week, so we're all caught up on the leagues. We're all caught up on you know, on our own teams. Let's get right into it. Not even take a break. Game week 26 or 28. Brandon, I want to go team by team. Let's do this alphabetically.
Okay.
Talk about each of the eight teams that are playing all three fixtures. Now, it's not that you have to bring in players that are playing the. For example, you could argue that the Chelsea transfers make sense because they're home to Swansea and away to West Ham, and you can transfer them, back out before game week 28. But I think, in general, most people are going to have a hard time fielding a full 11 in game week 28. And so any of the moves that I know that I'm planning to make before game week 26, 27, 28 are going to be geared towards having a full 11 in game week 28. So I think we should focus on those teams that play all three of the fixtures, because it'll just make it a little bit easier for us to focus the podcast.
I agree, Josh. Yeah, let's focus up. You've got these eight teams in front of you, right? I don't know if I have them.
I do. Well, I have this like little color-coded grid that I stole from the Fantasy Football Scout page. So that's what I'm looking at right now.
Okay.
So the first team, Brandon, is Bournemouth. Once mighty FPL fun Bournemouth, now kind of
the Whipping Boys.
Yeah, the Nathan Ake recall has somehow destroyed that team.
It is interesting. Yeah, so I think and Simon Francis has had some injury problems coming back from his red card. The defense is in complete shambles.
Right. It was the collapse, the Arsenal collapse, right, where they were up, what, 3-1 in the 80th minute and ended up drawing that game, right? And Francis got a red card. Ake was recalled, I think, like the following week. And it's all been downhill.
Yeah, it's been terrible. So I think the guy that everyone is looking at right now is our old friend, hologram for Joshua King. And he's been playing very far forward for a midfielder. He's priced at 5.3 million. He's been
basically playing as a striker.
Yeah, and which has been really tricky with Bournemouth. They've had so many weapons like Afobe, Colin Wilson, like sadly out for the season, injured again. And Joshua King just seems to keep popping up. And I know you brought in Junior Stanislas, and he occasionally takes penalties when he actually plays in a game.
Right.
Okay. So, good. But I think Joshua King is the only guy here worth looking at, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Get Charlie Daniels is not a bad shout, given how decimated that defense is.
Look at their fixtures, though, they're away to West Brom, they're away to Man United, and they're home to West Ham. There's maybe one clean sheet out of three from those fixtures.
That's true. And there must be people now ahead of Charlie Daniels in the pecking order for penalties.
Yeah, well, I guess Stanislaw was when he was playing, and I brought him in just when he stopped playing, when he inexplicably just was dropped from the rotation entirely. So I think I have to now burn a transfer to – I might have to burn four this week to bring someone else in for him. So slightly annoying. So Josh King, 5.3 million. He might be a good fit for your team, you know, like the fourth midfield slot or – I guess a slightly expensive fifth midfield option. Ryan Fraser has been playing a lot too, but he's not quite as consistent of a scorer. I mean, I guess he came in on the
three
goals, two assists in the season.
Yeah, he had those two goals in a row against Swansea and Arsenal. He looked like he was going to be a permanent fixture, but he hasn't really done anything since then.
Yeah, it's like it seems like Howe is kind of like moving all the midfield pieces around, trying to find the right combination. And it, you know, makes kind of all of the assets, including Josh King, for that matter, who I don't think he's anybody that you and I, he's not someone that you and I would advocate as like a great option. Right. I mean, even,
all these Bournemouth players,
he's not a consistent starter necessarily.
Yeah. They're all just bodies to put in your FPL team.
All right, so Bournemouth's a pass. Let's move on. Burnley.
Yeah, it's too tough. Burnley is
a little more interesting.
Definitely much more interesting given the number of clean sheets that they're taking. But Andre Gray is actually going to be my big pick here. Forget their defense, because 26, they're away to Hull, Swansea, then Liverpool. So I like at least two of these fixtures, Hull and Swansea. Liverpool, their defense.
I mean, he could score, right?
Sure, yes. Yeah. And Hull scored two great counterattacking goals, and Andre Gray is a scorer of counterattacking goals, so why not? So of all the players, I do like...
I mean, would you draft someone like Ibra for him? I mean, how much do you like Andre Gray?
Well, if you're talking about my team in particular with Ibra, Lukaku, and Kane up front... I'm definitely keeping Kane through game week 27 because Spurs aren't blanking in 26. And the plan is right now to keep Ibra for the Bournemouth match in game week 27. So for me personally, there's no place for Andre Gray in my strikers, except for maybe that Liverpool match. But that, I mean, maybe. Would I bring him in just for that Liverpool match? No, that seems insane.
It's very tricky. Having the right third striker for game week 28 is not an easy thing to do.
My plan right now is to play two strikers for game week 26 and game week 28.
Okay, and just rest Ibra. So you're not going to drop Ibra, you're thinking?
No, I don't think so. And I'll have to. I guess if I'm playing two strikers for game week 28, I'm going to have to bring in somebody for Kane.
Yeah, I had advocated on the last podcast for moving Ibra to Diego Costa for the Swansea fixture, but that was before two things happened. One is Liverpool becoming a team that played in game week 28 just opens up so many more options and really makes the Alexis to a Liverpool player such an obvious move, which we'll talk about later. Also Ibra has scored like 8 goals in the last, like, he just keeps scoring, you know. I mean, he had a hat trick in the Europa League, and he scored this weekend, and he's got the League Cup final this coming weekend. I think he's got another Europa League match, although he probably won't play on that one in midweek. So yeah, I really like having Ibra at home for game week 27. So my plan right now is to make a midfield move, bench him, but I probably will drop him before game week 28. Again, I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but when you look at the options available for game week 28, it's not for strikers. It's not a great mix. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, outside of Lukaku.
You're looking at these fixtures for 28 and Swansea City's Llorente looks like maybe the pick of the bunch, maybe Andy Carroll away at Bournemouth.
Right. But Andy Carroll's probably the strongest option.
I don't see any of these guys as slam dunks.
And then when you look at Man U after not playing a game week 28, they go away to Middlesbrough.
We got a shout out on social media that last episode we actually for once in our lives.
Right. But then like everyone took it as an opportunity to see if we would then pronounce other things the way we're supposed to. I'm never going to say premier or whatever. I don't even know how to like say that. We say premier in the United States. That's how I'm going to say that. Okay.
Premier,
I don't know.
Premier.
I don't know what's, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's, I don't care if I'm wrong. So they play away to Middlesbrough in game week 29, and then they're home to West Brom in game week 30, and home to Everton in game week 31. So pretty strong fixtures. I mean, if they were about to go into this really tricky run of fixtures, it would be less appealing. I mean, this is why, someone like Aguero is kind of an interesting option for some people, just because he is now the lone striker option for the rest of the season. I mean, outside of Iheanacho, but then you look at game week 29 through 31 and it's Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, just terrible fixtures for Man City.
Yeah, I think we're going to get more into this in the latter half of the podcast about planning beyond game week 28. Yeah, but I think there's a lot to talk about there with City, Spurs, and United.
All right, so Andre Gray, Tom Heaton. I mean, if you don't have a keeper for game week 26 and 28, or even just for 28, I mean, Heaton seems like the obvious move, right? I mean, even away to Liverpool, pretty good chance he'll make plenty of saves and
get him in
and pick up points. Yep, and he could keep a clean sheet in game week 26 and 27 for sure, right? I mean, away to Hull and away to Swansea.
Yeah, absolutely. Get him in right now.
All right, that brings us to Everton, another team possibly worthy of a triple up. They play Sunderland at home, Spurs away, and West Brom at home in 26 or 28. So two excellent fixtures, one pretty bad fixture.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm pretty happy to have Lukaku already because I feel like he is going to be top of the captaincy charts going into game week 26, and given that he plays, he's coming off of this injury saga where he didn't go to warm weather training with Everton, but surely he'll be fine. I think that was just precautionary.
Yeah.
But he is the blockbuster striker, the only blockbuster striker that has all three fixtures through these game weeks.
Right.
He is a must have. So I'm looking at a Everton defender and Lukaku are must haves. Yeah, you know, I have so probably too. The least valuable Everton defender in Joel Robles. This is just how it worked out. So I may be doubling up on Everton defense.
It's not a bad idea, although that Spurs fixture is so bad. What about anyone in the midfield? Is there anyone the Liverpool being able to play in game week 28 really changes things for me, because I guess I would have been looking at someone like Kevin Morales or Ross Barkley, and now I very happily don't have to bring in those players.
Yeah, and I'm also curious to see what kind of rotation happens in the Everton midfield through these game weeks. Not that they're like stacked one on top of the other, but you've had... Now that Morgan Schneiderlin is being worked into the starting 11, Gareth Barry is not getting the minutes that he was during the first half of the season. But were Schneiderlin not there, Barry priced to buy at 4.4, I would have loved to have brought him in. He's contributed a handful of assists through the season, but I just don't think
it's only a wild card move. Right. You bring him in for your fifth mid.
I guess Barkley is really the only solid option here because Morales is in and out. He's on and off with his form and also on and off with his minutes.
Right. I mean, Barkley's no better, right?
No. Well, I mean, Barkley
will definitely get
the minutes.
But,
and I feel like, the famous last FPL words, right? Like, well, Barkley's looking better. His form is on the uptick. And so this is the point in which Barkley immediately drops off and you don't hear from him for another 10 game weeks.
Okay, so I think that I didn't mean to totally glide over the Everton defensive double up, because I actually think because game week 27 is a full run of fixtures with everybody playing, I think that you could actually, especially if you have enough defensive depth where you could just bench one of the Everton defenders in game week 27 away to Spurs, then I actually think that a double up makes a lot of sense, for game week 26 and 28. I mean, home to Sunderland, home to West Brom, those are probably two clean sheets.
Also, and with Coleman and Baines, you're looking at those guys just as much for their attacking potential,
right?
Particularly Seamus Coleman right now, where I don't think you have to think strictly about the clean sheets with them.
Right, exactly. You don't. Although I still don't. I don't even know if I expect them to score away to Spurs, in game week 27. So
yeah,
I wouldn't want to be tripled up, with those. I wouldn't want to start three Everton players in game week 27.
Yeah, no, I like your idea of benching an Everton defender for 27. Then you've got them in the chamber for 28, as they say.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. That brings us to Hull City. They actually have pretty good fixtures. They're home to Burnley, they're away to Leicester, and they're home to Swansea, game week 26 or 28. So obviously this is where it's so heartbreaking that Robert Snodgrass isn't on the team anymore, right? Because he would have been the perfect option here. And now I mean, I know you're a big Myler fan. I know you love Huddlestone.
I also love Myler because he's a kind of balloon.
And I, you know, Sean Maloney. I used to like Maloney when he played for he used to play for Wigan, I think, back in the day.
Maloney is also great because Maloney is the name of, like, during the 80s, I feel like every broadcast TV cop drama, there was some detective named Maloney.
Right, it's like set in Chicago or something. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Detective Maloney.
All right, so let's. I'm gonna look at the. I mean, the whole. Okay, like the like totally honest answer here is I don't think either of us have anyone that we really want on Hall, anyone that we'd like really recommend.
Well, how
right?
about we, no, how about actually, I'll take this opportunity to walk back the Tom Heaton definite buy.
Okay,
if you're shopping around for a goalkeeper, why not Jakubovic at 4.1? He's like a million cheaper, and.
That's true. 11 and 8 in two of the last three. So.
Yeah, I mean he's going to get peppered with shots in any game that you're playing against Hull. He's looked that's really
true.
Good.
That so is
there,
true.
There is an option if you're and that's you
actually
need the money.
And actually, it's a pretty good 6-game run for them in general. That are so it's Burnley, Leicester, Swansea, and then they're away to Everton, and then they're home to West Ham and Middlesbrough through game week 31. And then it's City away. It's actually a pretty good run in general. Stoke, Watford, Southampton, Sunderland, Crystal Palace. I mean, yeah, maybe Jakubovic is the way to go. I mean, so Marshall has just lost his spot. Is that the feeling right now? I mean, I guess he hasn't started the last five games.
And Jakubovic has done nothing to lose that spot. He's looked fantastic.
Yeah. So, I think I like that. And then he's at least a million cheaper than Heaton, right? Jakubovic is 4.1 and Heaton is 5.1. Yeah. So, I think that's a good move. I don't think there's anyone, I mean, from attacking perspective, it just feels like it's hard to pick the right
person. There's Harry Maguire, who is a defender. They were actually big upping him, I think, on the Scoutcast. And he is just kind of like, he's weirdly marauding. Like, Maguire is always marauding. And he marauds in a way that you feel like the coach is probably like, stop doing that.
Right.
We have lost all team shape because it's like of
Aaron Ramsey style. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But he's an interesting pick. And at 4.4, if you're looking to get somebody in, and it's not going to be if you already have Tom Heaton.
Yeah.
I like Maguire.
Yeah. And I mean, Andrew Robertson is a really, really talented player. And, I know a lot of clubs have been trying to bring him in. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I'll be honest with you here, Brandon. I'm not planning to bring in any Hull players. So that's all I'll say about that. I do think that Jakubovic makes sense if you need a cheap keeper, but that's about it.
I'm with you. If I end up bringing in a Hull player, it is not by design. It is by necessity.
Liverpool. The team that played.
Okay, yeah, I there's a lot to talk about here, and I think the Liverpool midfield is where a lot of our minds immediately go when we're talking about dropping Alexis Sanchez for these games coming up. So we ended up pulling up a lot of stats for the Fab Five of the Liverpool midfield. No offense to all you Gigi Wijnaldum heads out there, but we're looking at Mane, Firmino, Lallana, Coutinho, and Milner.
As Davey Pointless Pull said on Twitter, Mane versus Firmino versus Coutinho sorted out.
So I think that what all the stats seem to point to is Firmino is the most threatening, but he just doesn't have as many goals. He doesn't have the goal form that a guy like Sadio Mane has right now. So you're sort of betting on the statistics that Firmino will eventually convert the chances that he's getting. But my gut is telling me Roberto Firmino right now instead of Mane.
Well, I mean, this is the Firmino dilemma all the time, right? Which is that all of the, you know, in terms of influence, he is a player who just should be converting more than he is, right? I mean, he should have more goals and more assists than he does. I mean, and it's not like he's been hugely disappointing this year. I mean, I think he has something like, you know, let's see here, 2, 3, 5.
He's got eight goals on the season.
Right, 8 goals in the season and something like 6 assists, right? So not like a hugely disappointing season by any stretch, right? I mean, he could end up with double-digit goals and assists this year. But he's not quite as explosive as Mane, and there's kind of a recency bias here too, although would you even call it a bias? Because Mane, not only was he the best player in the Spurs game, you know, really, really dominant player in the Spurs match, but before he left the African Cup of Nations, he was really emerging as the most dominant midfield option on that team. Mm-hmm. Now, partially that was because Coutinho was gone, but, you know, Coutinho came back, but he hasn't really come back. You know, I mean,
it's the true. Last time, yeah. They just haven't looked the same like they did when they were in full flight, when Coutinho was pulling all the strings and Firmino and Mane just had to finish things that were put on a plate for them.
How long do you think it's been since Coutinho had a goal or an assist in the Premier League?
Well, it's got to be October.
Game week 11 is the last time he had a goal or an assist. So he missed, you know, 8 of those games, but he's been back for the last 5 and has not scored a goal or assist. And if you watch him play, it's not the same. And, you know, I mean, it's, these guys are only human. So I don't want to, like, you know, but it's, I'm sure he's injured, right? I'm sure he's playing hurt. And
yeah,
I'm
he
sure
looks like he's playing with trust his body. Some trepidation.
Right. Exactly. So it seems like Mane is such an obvious choice that part of me has this kind of like urge to like fight against it, you know?
Yeah.
He's like in the best form and he is the most explosive and he's the best captain option of all these guys. And so it kind of makes me want to like try to find like the differential option here. And I guess for someone like me, it probably makes sense to just totally risk it and go with a player like Coutinho or Firmino, because everyone is going to be bringing in Mane. But I think I'm going to too. I just feel like he's the best player to bring in, and I feel like I'd be overthinking it if I brought in anyone else. So the move that I'm planning to make is Alexis Sanchez to Sadio Mane, and with the, you know, 2.3 million or whatever that's going to free up, you know, mm-hmm. 2 million, let's say, it'll be more than that, right? Like 2.6 million. I'm probably going to try to turn Stanislaw into Adam Lallana or something like that, or maybe even Coutinho, and then just double up on Liverpool and just kind of take my chances.
Now, I just want to chime in here with something Jeff Petter said online. I'd like to promote caution when it comes to Liverpool players. Mane, sure, but too many people for me are looking at Firmino, Coutinho, etc. I know they have a Game Week 28 fixture, but have people not seen Liverpool lately? Now, right. Jeff is a true Spurs fan here and is completely ignoring the complete decimation of his club at the hands of a one Sadio Mane.
Right.
But if you just look at the fixtures that are coming up for Liverpool, Leicester City, sure, Leicester are garbage. They can't defend. That could be a bit of a goal fest for Liverpool. But then it's Arsenal and Burnley. Burnley, who will be away from home, and they can't win away from home, but they're right. fairly and organized.
Yeah, and but then, they do concede goals away from home, though.
They do. I don't. And also, I'm sort of grasping at straws here, given what we just talked about. What Burnley, Hull.
And the last time Arsenal and Liverpool played, Liverpool did score. You know, they put 4 past him, and that was on the road.
Yeah, that was basically a Champions League match between Manchester City and Monaco.
Right.
The last
right,
time they
exactly.
played. But I think Liverpool is a necessity for no other reason than they're probably the best team that has a straight run.
That's all it is. I mean, that's, you know, let's. Yeah, I mean, if I, you know, in a world where all of these teams are playing all three of these fixtures, I probably wouldn't be looking to bring in any Liverpool players. But I mean, the reality is they are so far and away the best team that's playing all three of these fixtures that you really can't look anywhere else, right? Yeah. I mean, assuming that you already have Lukaku, assuming you already have an Everton defender, I mean, maybe this is a groupthink, you know, mode that I'm falling into here, but it just seems like, you know, bringing in one or maybe two Liverpool midfielders is the way to go. I mean, what I would like is I would love it if Sturridge were actually playing, but he just doesn't, right? So, yeah. And he's even now he's got a yellow flag, so
it's not going
to Sturridge happen. And then Origi, you know, I guess it just there was that time, man, where it was like scored four games in a row.
I had him for like I think one game there, and then he just couldn't get any playing time. He was too good at late game hold up play. I am just gonna go looking at these are season long stats, but they just back up Firmino. He's by far and away has the most touches in the final third of any of these guys.
Yeah,
and I'm going to cast my lot with Firmino if I go down that road, which we all inevitably will. So you're going Mane, I'm going Firmino. We'll see how it all shakes out.
All right, I like it. It's a good challenge. All right, so and then a defender. I mean, I guess I think that's fine. I feel like I would rather just double up on Everton defenders rather than bring in a Liverpool defender.
Joel Matip is an interesting one in that he's shown some goal threat on corners, and if Liverpool show up and have a solid defensive game, let's see, like how many bonus points has he earned through the season? Like one. But that's still fine.
Nathaniel Klein, he's kind of expensive though. I mean, Nathaniel Klein's 5.8 million. It's a little pricey for a guy who hasn't scored a goal this season.
He's been like the greatest disappointment. You know, before he went to Liverpool last season, he was part of that high flying duo Bertrand and Klein.
Totally, I know. Yeah, Bertrand really hasn't been the same either, has he, since he left?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he had a big week this last game week with two assists and a clean sheet. But it is true. That Southampton team was probably at its peak when it was Klein and Bertrand and Lallana and when Rodriguez was in full flow. And
those were the days. Oh, Brandon, for it to be 2013 all over again.
Oh, man, we were so young.
All right. We've got three teams to go here. Swansea City, the resurgent Swansea City.
Gylfi Sigurdsson is easily in that camp of that Lukaku camp of must have.
Right. I would probably be looking at bringing him in this week if they weren't away to Chelsea, and just a little too scared of that Chelsea fixture to bring him in.
Yeah.
But maybe I might bring him in before game week 27 or 28.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's set yourself up to bring him in 27, and he's a player that you'll be happy to have for the rest of the season. I mean, there is a pretty decent run for them with, depending on which Burnley team shows up in 27, Hull, mm-hmm. Bournemouth, Middlesbrough. That's three. Well, and then you got Spurs in 31. Let's extend the thought train.
Okay. Right.
West Ham, Watford, Stoke. You're all the way to game week 34. You're basically collecting your winnings from your mini league at that point.
that's true. I guess Swansea are going to stay up, aren't they? I'm pretty happy about that. They're my second club after Arsenal, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay, so if this is telling of anything, this magical turnaround since Paul Clement showed up is very similar to the sort of turnaround that Leicester City had, avoiding mm-hmm. relegation the season before they won the Premier League.
So you think Alfie Mawson's lifting the cup in 2018?
I see Alfie Mawson's, you know, tiny little teeth lifting that cup over his head.
Do you think Eder will come back for the celebration?
Have you seen that not the game Eder, but whose Panther celebration, Mr. Offside, Bafétimbi Gomis. Mm-hmm. He has chosen to not extend his contract at Lyon
or something. Yeah,
mm-hmm. some French side, because he knows, just like I do, that Swansea is on the fast track to winning the Premier League title next season. And he wants to be part of that.
Tim, Mr. Offside Gomis, back in the league. He can be their Ojoa.
So the side judge is going to raise his flag, and Gomez is going to say offside, and the line judge will say, nope, you just won the Premier League.
All right, so we got Sigurdsson. That's the obvious one. Llorente is an interesting player. He's kind of streaky. He scored braces three times this year. Going back to game week 13, it's 2 goals, 0, 2 goals, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 2, 0, 0, 0. So I know, like, no one's like writing these down at home, but it's a lot, there's a lot of zeros. He's not a
guacamole recipe or something.
We are not talking about a consistent Diego Costa level, you know, tick, tick, tick of goals. And he basically doesn't pick up any assists. I think he's got one assist on the season. So, two, I guess. So you're bringing him in for some goals, but you know, I mean, the fixtures are set up pretty well for him after the Chelsea fixture. I mean, I would at least consider bringing in Llorente as an Ibra stopgap. And I know it may sound crazy to certain people to talk about, you know, dropping Sanchez, dropping Ibra, but I'm planning to wild card pretty soon after game week 28. I mean, I might even wild card in game week 29 if they start to announce the double game weeks. So,
yeah, you know, that's one of the big reasons that I'm looking to, without trepidation, I'm looking to get rid of Alexis Sanchez because I don't have any value wrapped up in him. And I'll spread the money around, but the assumption is I'm going to wild card back into Alexis Sanchez.
And the way prices are rising and falling this year, it's just not going to hurt you that much. I mean, even if you're invested, you know, and the price has risen a ton on someone like Ibra, which it really hasn't risen that much, that 0.4 that you're trying to hold on to, you're going to lose anyways because he's going to be dropped by so many people because he's missing these two fixtures. So I think, you know, bringing in someone like Llorente is kind of a punt, you know, for that burn. I mean, Burnley, Hull, Bournemouth, Middlesbrough are four very strong fixtures in a row. So, it's a team on fire too.
Here's the question for you. Sean number one on Twitter says, with game week 28 in mind, Llorente, Carroll, as in Andy Carroll, or Gray to replace Aguero this week. So Sean's sitting there with Aguero, who's on a blank, though looks like he's going to be back in the lineup and back on form based on a brace in the Champions League. But you've got to replace him. Llorente, Carroll, or Gray?
Right. I think I would go Llorente, possibly even Jordan Ayew, although I'd like to see if he actually starts away to Chelsea. Jordan Ayew is only 5 million and pretty good player. I mean, hard to really get a read on him because he played for such a terrible Aston Villa squad last year.
Jordan Ayew is the bane of many FPL managers because he was by far and away the best player on that Villa squad. And he had no right to spoil so many clean sheets last season, which he did.
So he's only played 19 minutes so far for Swansea. He's already scored a goal. He hasn't scored a goal. He scored a point in 19.
What a wonderful point it was, though.
So I think Llorente is the safest option. Andy Carroll can't stay healthy, and Andre Gray is away to Liverpool in game week 28. So if fixtures matter to you, you know, I would certainly feel safer having Llorente over Gray.
Yeah, I would make the case. By a thin margin for Andre Gray because Liverpool is a less scary fixture to me just based on Liverpool's dicey defense than Burnley's defense, be they home or away. So if you're looking at Chelsea, Burnley versus Hull, Swansea in isolation.
I like your very real fear of a Burnley team that couldn't beat a non-league side at home. I don't know.
Because they were saving all their mojo, man, for the league. They know what matters.
How many points have they picked up on the road this year? It's like one,
The same number of FPL points that Jordan Ayew has. Total.
I think we need to do a deep dive into does Tom Heaton get you any points at all on the road? It's kind of a myth, I think, right? I know he saved a penalty away to West Ham, but other than that, they have not kept a lot of clean sheets on the road.
But he's getting save points, is he not?
I mean, okay, just looking back at his last few away games, right? I'm going to go backwards here. 2, 3, 1, 3, 12. That was the West Ham game. 0, 0, 11. Okay. Five. We're going back to like game weeks 5 and 6 though. Now, certainly the last like 10 weeks, he has not been a consistent. Okay, maybe he's going to get you 3 points, but it's not like he's keeping clean sheets way to Spurs or City or any of these squads.
Josh, let's be even more real about this Burnley team FPL wise. Just looking at the team stats in front of me, Tom Heaton is by a margin of 32 points the highest FPL point getter on the team with 106. The next closest with 74 points is, yes, buckle up, get in your Volkswagen. It's Sam Vokes with 74 points. What is going on in this? This Burnley team is like a weird, it's a weird, very team. Strange, hard to wrap your head around.
Let's move on. West Brom.
Oh, before we move on from Swansea, I have to give a little shout out to my cheap midfielder man, Tom Carroll. And I think if you're looking to plug a small hole in your squad in the next 3 weeks, Tom Carroll's a great option.
Great plug.
So there we are. What does Tom Carroll cost you now? He
4.3, something like that.
He's priced at 4.2. You know, he's yet to really put a complete game together with 4 starts for Swansea, but you can see it there. And if Swansea ever hit full flight, Tom Carroll's going to be involved.
The way you talk about Tom, it's like your eyes start shining. I know. All right. Can we talk about West Brom now, or do you want to talk about Tom Carroll some more?
Well, you could tune into the Patreon pod this weekend where I talk more about Tom Carroll.
Care of the Carroll cast. West Brom, all right, they have two good fixtures out of three. They play Bournemouth at home, Crystal Palace at home, Everton away. Bournemouth at home, Crystal Palace at home. Love those fixtures. I'm currently doubled up on West Brom's defense. I very idiotically did not bring in Heaton many weeks ago when I could have, and brought in Ben Foster, which has worked out pretty poorly. I maybe picked up like 2 clean sheets from him, since I brought him in. So I think they're not keeping a lot of clean sheets. These are pretty good fixtures to keep clean sheets in. I mean, Bournemouth and Crystal Palace are in terrible form
as well. Yeah,
right. I think almost everyone who's listening probably has a West Brom defender already. If you don't, you should certainly bring in one of their central defenders. Or actually, they kind of move around, right? So I guess we're just talking about McCauley here or Dawson.
We have to thank Andy from the Scoutcast for tweeting at us definitive proof of the Gareth McCauley deflection that gave him the goal.
Whatever.
Put that to bed. So, yeah, let's hear it for Ghost McCauley.
So, McCauley, Brunt, Dawson is 0.3 cheaper. Yeah, I think you could go Dawson. I mean, you know, I have Ellen Yam, his 4.4, so that's like your crazy cheap option.
Yeah.
Looks like Johnny Evans is playing again, although
don't bet on it.
Never want to take the risk. Exactly. Don't bet at it. So, I think. When Brunt, of course, we didn't talk about Chris Brunt, obviously. I mean, I guess Brunt is probably the best player.
Yeah, Brunt is – I think Brunt just has it by some distance based on his attacking potential. It's sort of the Everton phenomenon of
– I never would have thought Chris Brunt – this guy's been in the league for so long. I mean, I had Chris Brunt like the first year I played fantasy.
Yeah.
He had 11 assists in 2011. Can you believe that? 11 assists.
It is an insane. I don't think we've seen a run of form like this. It's Eden Hazard esque in that this man can't perform away from home, but when he's at home, my God.
And that name, I mean, the name Chris Brunt is just it's the ugliest name that anyone has ever heard.
It's the ultimate, like when Tony Pulis saw the team sheet, he was like, Chris Brunt?
Yeah.
That's a Pulis name.
That's true. I mean, Tony Pulis is a pretty ugly name too, but Chris Brunt really takes the cake. So, okay. So you want a defender. The midfield, I feel like we're all – okay, we've talked about Morrison and Dazia. We talked about Morrison for like 20 minutes on a recent podcast. So
He's the old Tom Carroll.
He's the old Tom Carroll. He's got 3 goals and an assist in his last 6, 4.7 million. Matt Phillips just really fell off. I mean, everyone kind of got on the Phillips hype train, including me, and he hasn't done anything the last 5 game weeks. Maybe he read some articles about himself. You know, he bought into it. He got Jamie Vardy'd. You know, he bought into his own hype.
Yeah, it may be some sort of cosmic universe, though, in which Matty Phillips and Nacer Chadli can't do well in at the same time in the same right. place. So it's it because Chadley's yeah. form has picked up slightly. He's had better. A goal and assist the last two yeah. matches. He still can't put 60 minutes together, though.
Exactly. That's my concern. It's, you know, 58, 65, 52 in the last three. So are you going to get – I mean, because if he doesn't even get a goal or an assist, then you're looking at a possible one-pointer from him, which is a little too risky for me. Why not
James Morrison? He is if you're looking at Phillips, Chadli, and Morrison has outperformed them by a mile the last 3 weeks.
And Rondon at the forward line is an interesting option. We haven't actually talked about him at all as another option. I don't think it's a bad option, but the real scary thing is that if you look past game week 28, you're looking at Arsenal, Man U. I mean, it's like it's all red if you're looking at the color-coded tracker on the fantasy website. It's Arsenal, Man U, Liverpool, Man City, even away to Watford is not great. So from a defender perspective, at least. So I just think that I'd be wary of like tripling up on West Brom. You know, maybe I'd double up on the defense makes sense, but I would definitely plan to although I guess, you know, to go back to original thought here, you can look at this kind of in a vacuum if you're planning to wild card fairly early on in the, you know, if you're planning to wild card in game week 29 or 30, then by all means, just try to maximize your points the next three game weeks.
Hey, and by all means, bring in Solomon Rondon. But I feel like somebody has to point out that his goal scoring record is appalling.
Hey, by all means, bring in Boaz Myhill, but just know he's not going to play.
Yeah, it's a free world. I mean, it's a free world. Everyone on planet Earth is free to do as they please. That's the world I live in.
All right. Thanks, Thomas Friedman.
The FPL league is flat.
All right, this brings us to. I thought that this is gonna be like a 15-minute segment. Us going through these eight teams. I think we're like 2 hours in now. It brings us to West Ham, the final team that plays all three fixtures. Team that is a little under the radar, I think, in terms of FPL assets.
Yeah,
I
don't definitely.
Think a lot of us are really talking about them, but they have two pretty strong fixtures. They're away to Watford, tough fixture at home to Chelsea, and then away to Bournemouth in game week 28. So who stands out for you on West Ham?
Yeah, Manuel Lanzini at 6.3. You know, he's been injured for a lot of the season, and he's been back, and he's been in good form. In the last six fixtures, he's had two goals and three assists. So not bad. And I think if, you know, particularly in light of Payet leaving, I know they sort of brought in like for like Robert Snodgrass, but there was a lot of flair that left with Payet. And I think Payet sort of sucked up a lot of the flair oxygen on the pitch.
Fun too.
Yeah. So I feel like I can see Lanzini being a little more free to express himself with a, you know, sturdier character like Snodgrass. I'm looking at him. Definitely.
Another thing to note here too, is that they have a really good five match run of fixtures. If you exclude the Chelsea game, they're away to Watford, and then they're, so it's Watford, Bournemouth, Leicester, Hull in four of the next five. So you could bring in a player or two, and then actually you wouldn't necessarily need to, if you weren't wildcarding for a few more weeks, you wouldn't need to get these players out right away. So it's not quite as if I were looking at a mid-price midfielder, like a Lanzini type, I think I would be looking at West Ham over West Brom because you can just keep those players in for good fixtures a little bit longer.
What about Mikel Antonio? FPL's most greatest player of the first like month of the season.
I just think that 7 million price point's a little tricky. I feel like Gylfi Sigurdsson is the better option at that price point. I think that Robert Snodgrass is the one who stands out to me, though. I mean, I know we like, you know, Snod is God and all that stuff. Then he hasn't really shown it yet, but he hasn't really had a lot of time, and they haven't had great fixtures so far. So I think that, you know, it'd be maybe like a little bit of a punt, but he's only 5.8 million. So he's a pretty good fourth midfield option. And I think there's at least a chance that I'll end up having Snodgrass before game week 28.
Yeah, I like that too. I'm into Snodgrass. I'm into him.
Andy Carroll, I think, probably a worry for both of us, right? You know, the price is great, but I mean, he's got a yellow flag right now, right? Like, when does he not have a yellow flag?
I know. It's just like, do you need that much stress in your life? I would love to live in a world in which Andy Carroll was an easy option to put into your squad week to week. But this is just not the case. Yeah. He's the offensive Johnny Evans.
And he's got 4 goals in the last 5 games. I mean, if he had any faith that he was going to stay healthy, it'd be really, you know, appealing to bring him in. But it feels very risky to me, given that if he doesn't play, there's not going to be anyone on your bench to come in for him.
Yeah, he is one of those transfers where I think if you're holding out for the press conferences or the night of, and you're getting that last bit of intel and it looks pretty certain that he's in the lineup, then go for it. But it is a long-term bet. I agree. Very, very risky.
I agree. Brandon, let's take a quick break. Let's get back. And we have a few questions we still haven't answered. Let's answer those. And then I'm going to have a glass of water and go to bed. Same old
podcast, always cheating. All right, Josh, we're back. And we're going to answer a few listener questions. And then we're going to do a little, we're going to get out the crystal ball and do a little future cast for what the FPL looks like starting in game week 29. We've spent a lot of time talking about the 3 weeks upcoming. But what's in store for us afterward?
What is in store? First, though, Byron James says, Sanchez and Ibra swap for Mane and Kane. It's easy, right? P.S. I think this must have been you, Brandon. You said Eric Cantona last week. It's Cantona.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, why can't all athletes be like Tom Brady or Dale Earnhardt?
Simple Chris Brunt.
Yeah, Chris Brunt. David Mylar.
Right. Sanchez for Mane, yes. Ibra for Kane, I don't feel as strongly about. I mean, I you know, I guess a lot of us already have Ibra and Kane, which you and I both do. So maybe we're just not really thinking that way. But I mean, you get Kane for 2 fixtures, and then suddenly you're moving him back out, or you're benching him. I don't know. I guess if your squad can handle the like decimation that's coming in game week 28, or you don't mind having like 7 starters, then I think you could do it. But
here's one thing I would say about Harry Kane, and I know I sort of flippantly said I might dump him in game week 28, but let's look at the Spurs fixtures through game week 34. Okay. Stoke, Everton, starting in 26 is Stoke, Everton, then blank. Then they come back in 29, Southampton, Burnley, Swansea, Watford, Bournemouth, Leicester. I mean, of all of the top...
You said this very fast, but that sounds easy.
It's all easy. Of all of the top half of the table clubs, Spurs had the tastiest run coming out of game week 28. Mm-hmm. So it is a real dilemma, like, to jettison your Spurs players going into game week 28, and again, it sort of depends on when you're playing on playing your wild card.
Yeah,
I'm not discounting any Spurs player just because of the 28 blank.
I think it's pretty tricky. I have Eriksen and Kane. I think there's a good chance that Kane survives game week 28, but I don't know that Eriksen does. I think that Eriksen to Sigurdsson is a move that I might end up making, and you know, I mean, if only because I'm wildcarding so soon afterwards. So why not? You know, I mean, I don't know. There's no point in keeping players anymore that have high value, because that value just crumbles and it just rises and falls so fast. So
I can't argue with you there. Inpatch We Trust tweeted at us, just picked up a whole defender for a D who doesn't play in game week 28. Don't believe that's true, right? Hull will play in game week 28, right?
Yeah, they will. They play Swansea at home.
Nonetheless, in Patry Trust, still might only have 5 players heading into game week 28 with no wild card in hand. What to do? So I guess this just begs the question, how many players do you need? FPL United actually also asked the same question. How many players do you think is necessary to have for game week 28?
I think... Okay, I mean, there's not a clear answer on this. I think that...
Didn't you say 8 was the magic number?
Well, But 8 seems a little low to me. Maybe 9. And okay. And I say that as someone who isn't afraid to blow up my team because I'm planning a wild card. Not to be repetitive here, but so for me, it's like, why not, right? Why not just blow it all up? Because I can bring them back in, you know.
The bigger question for me is how many. Okay, so if I blow,
how many
my
points
team,
do you want to burn?
How many
them?
Points right. will I burn right. to blow it right. up to right. an right. to all then play a wild card? It just seems so. Like, are you losing? Are you, what points are you gaining from blowing up your team that you're losing in minus fours?
Right. I mean, burning four to bring in a. You know, replacement for your fifth defender or something, or even burning four to turn Ibra into Andre Gray away to Liverpool doesn't seem like it's worth the money, right? Burning four in general is a total crapshoot. And I think that, I mean, I think we talked a little bit on last week's podcast about finding the right way to burn four. You know, I mean, if you have a player like Stanislav, who's probably not even going to play, then bringing in a player who has a pretty good chance of keeping a clean sheet at home, like a midfielder with a clean sheet, means that worst case scenario, you're maybe only losing 1 point because they're going to get three and the player you would have the player you would drop would have gotten zero. So maybe that's kind of a guiding principle. If you think that you're going to bring in a midfielder in particular, then maybe look for someone who's at home and it's just going to minimize your chances of not losing points on the transaction, you know, because we're not talking about 3 versus 2 here. You know, we're not talking about like a player who's going to start and get 2. We're talking about 0 points, you know, so, yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
this is game week 28. You say the word transaction plus talking about game week 28. It's reminding me of mobile games that you buy that are free. But yeah. Within the game, there are all these microtransactions. So you get a free game and you end up spending $80 on
it. Right. Have we ever seen a game week like this before? I don't remember there ever being a game week with only four fixtures.
Okay, so here's what I want to say about game week 28, in that I don't know that we know what the appropriate number of players are. And I'm thinking to last season's double game weeks in 33, where everyone got rid of their Spurs players to bring in double game week players, and Spurs had a huge game. Guys like Dele Alli and Harry Kane had mad points that would have surpassed the players you brought in for double game weeks. And the sort of FPL brain didn't account for that because it sort of went against sort of the game logic,
right?
And that to me says there is a way that game week 28 plays out in which the people who field 6, 7, 8 players are going to be just as fine as the people who bend over backwards to either field a full 11 or 10. So I'm not saying that could
especially
that
if you get the
true,
if you get your captain right, yeah. I mean, you know,
won't
money
that be
home
like the biggest
to
thing,
Burnley
the captain,
yeah,
like
yeah,
so long
exactly.
as you have a viable, and this is again why Lukaku is so crucial to all this. Having right. a viable, you know, big time captain option for 28, if he comes through, then you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like right now I'm probably only have like 5 players.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's very tricky. I mean, I probably will end up with like 9 players. That seems like about right to me. But that would involve me burning 4 twice. I wouldn't burn more than 8 in game 8 28. I don't know. So it's a tricky one.
FPL Piglet asks, Burnley only have 1 point away this season. We mentioned this earlier. Will it turn around against Hull? So this is, you're pitting Hull versus Burnley.
Right.
Who wins?
I mean, I think that Hull probably wins or gets a point or something.
Hull, and yeah, it's not a widely kept secret that Hull have looked pretty good the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, with the new manager coming in. There's been a real bounce there, a substantial bounce.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great game. We'll look forward to that Burnley Hull game. I think it's going to be a highly contested.
God, you are so in on Burnley right now. It's crazy. FPL, you know, okay, we already got that one. Scott Gill says, are we all scared to captain Trollkaku this week?
I ain't scared. He's got the armband on my team right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm not scared either. I mean,
He scored a hat trick against Sunderland earlier in the season.
He should
have scored 400 goals against them in that game.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's pretty much far and away the best captain option for this game week. I mean, if you had Diego Costa, maybe home to Swansea, although Swansea looks a lot better right now. So that game is not quite as much of a gimme as I would have previously thought. It's also kind of weird because a lot of these teams didn't play in the FA Cup. So
yeah,
a lot of them went away to Dubai or, went on little team building missions. I mean, Alexis Sanchez went back to Chile for a couple of days. And so I don't really know. I think some of these teams could be a little rusty at the start of these fixtures.
Here's my wild card for captaincy, Eden Hazard, home to Swansea. Now, I know he is kryptonite for the Always Cheating
persona non grata.
But say you have him or say you're looking to make a swap with Alexis Sanchez, bringing in Hazard and captaining him is, it's viable.
Okay, fine. Sure. Final question. Sebastian Stromsheim runs and says, how do we plan for game week? Wait for it. 29.
Whoa, 29.
Everyone has their eyes set on managing the blanks, but are we doing this at the cost of the rest of the season? What teams have good runs from game week 29 onward, and what players in the game week 28 teams do we want to get rid of ASAP? I think we talked about a lot of this already. Part of it being that there's a lot of us will probably wildcard shortly after game week 28. West Brom is a team that have players you're going to want to get rid of ASAP if you bring them in. But in terms of who has good fixtures and bad fixtures in the weeks to come, we don't need to go too in depth here, but,
I think Spurs.
And, Swansea.
Who does Swansea have? They've got, Bournemouth, Middlesbrough, then Spurs in 31, but then again, it's West Ham, Watford, Stoke. So yeah, very viable. I also like Manchester United comes back. Game week 29, they got the burger. Then it's West Brom, Everton, Sunderland before they hit Chelsea in game week 33.
Yeah, West Ham, pretty good run for a few matches.
Yeah, I'll look at Arsenal. They have City in game week 30, West Brom in 29, then City in game week 30. But then it's a fairly decent cluster of fixtures for them.
This isn't even counting double game weeks that might start to populate these fixtures.
So that's where I'm like, if you're dumping Alexis, I feel confident that you can wait to play your wild card, say going into game week 31, and that's maybe when you want to get him back in.
And right.
So you're sort of like Arsenal free until game week 31.
Yeah, because it's just not a good. They miss two fixtures and. Game week 27, they're away to Liverpool. Game week 29, they're away to West Brom, which isn't a great fixture. Game week 30, they play Man City. Yeah, so like you said, it's not really until game week 31 that you're really going to absolutely need Arsenal coverage. I mean, obviously, Alexis Sanchez can score in any situation, but those are not set up for him to perform well. I mean, these are not – it's not an easy run of fixtures for sure.
Manchester City is another team where you're just wary of until later on. They're not our problem until game week 32 when they have a whole city.
Right.
They have that cluster of Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, and they could still be in the Champions League and probably still in the FA Cup, and they've got a replay with Huddersfield. So, I'm planning to stay away from Man City. Although Jeff Petter had mentioned we only took part of his question, but he mentioned that, Leroy Sané is a player, he and Sterling are players that we really have to start talking about a little bit. I mean, Sané in particular, I think he's going to be awesome next year.
Yeah.
And he looks really good and he's cheap. So I think for double game weeks, we want to talk about Sané, but I think that's a conversation for another day.
It's funny looking at these game week 29 fixtures. It feels like it's going to be another game week. It's going to be a game week in isolation because I think we're going to be just between our blown up teams of game week 28 and triggering our wild card.
Seeing that Everton play Hull at home in game week 29, it really makes that defensive double up make even more sense because it's three really good home fixtures out of four.
Yeah, but after 29, jettison all Everton players of Liverpool and United back-to-back.
Including probably Lukaku, right? I mean,
Yeah. There'll just be better options.
Yeah, exactly. Brandon, this has been fun. I'm excited.
I always enjoy talking to you, Josh. You should call me more often.
I should
I should record more of our phone conversations.
You really should. Yeah. Are you going to put this on the podcast? Or is this just a phone conversation?
So we should. I'm just going to start recording the podcast now. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Hail cheaters!
all right. Well, good luck this weekend, Brandon.
Yeah, same to you. This is one of those podcasts where I will wish you good luck and good fortune.
I'm
feeling positive vibes. Positive vibes to all of our listeners out there. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe to the Always Cheating podcast. You can find us on iTunes. We are where you can rate or leave us a review. We are on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, wherever you get our podcast. And where can people follow us, Josh?
They can follow us on facebook.com/alwayscheating. They can also find us on Twitter. We're Hail Cheaters at Twitter, on Twitter. And you can email us hailcheaters@gmail.com, and the website is alwayscheating.com, so you can find us pretty much anywhere. Just Google us.
And just to reiterate, we'll have a special podcast coming out this weekend for Patreon subscribers, and you can find out more about how to support us at Patreon by going to patreon.com/alwayscheating.
And thank you to everyone who does support the podcast.
You're the best.
Very sincerely appreciated. All right. Talk to you next week.
All right. Mbakani forever.
Hail Poku.